would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to the Warmeister Podcast, episode 82, part 3. It's actually episode 84, but well, sometimes it gets mislabeled. And what happens is once the post is created on the Podbean or whatever the bloody name of the app is, even when I edit it to change the title, it's all the web page has already been created.
Oh, so
it looks right, but it's not right because it says 82.
Who cares?
Well, people care, but it can't be changed now. So it's now, this is 84, the last one was 83, the one before that was obviously 82. This is not 82 part 3.
All right.
So 84, and what have we got today, Paul? What's on the menu?
It is the High Elf Army Review, Revolution Edition.
Revolution, which will take us to a 6.
Yep.
We've only done 6, it's a long way to go on these bad boys.
Yeah.
So we've got to keep doing them. Otherwise, by the time we do them, it'll have changed again, maybe.
Yep.
The world's a movable feast.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about High Elf Army, or the Beginner's Army, as I call it.
The Easy Army.
Well, it's easy in some respects.
It's
got a little bit less easy,
yes,
maybe.
Yes, and that's essentially what we're talking about. Yep.
Okay, right, so what has been happening? It's only been a week and... When did we do? Thursday?
Yeah, yep. I got
so it's a week and 3 days.
Yep.
Because it is Sunday the 28th.
28th, mm-hmm.
Almost the end of January, and it is about 8:45. 8:40, jeez, where does the time go? So 8:40 on Sunday night, and Paul is going to tell us what he's been doing in the last 10 days of Paul's world.
Okay, so it was quite good. I went to Phil Vestry's, the night after we recorded last. Phil Vestry, you know which one.
previous episode, that was Phil.
And anyway, we had a fantastic man cave. Which could easily film stuff in. It's very well lit. Yeah, I played a 1,000-point game with this with Phil and just demoing it to another guy as well, which is quite cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, another potential player.
Yeah, yeah. So I didn't stay late that night because the following day I had my advanced life support exams. But I wanted
to. Passed, you know?
I did pass. Oh, yeah. So no, it was. I mean, massive weight off my mind. Yeah, but that, the next time that he's invited us round there, I'll, make more of an evening of it, in kind of sense. But I wanted to turn up because I would have been not working.
Was that the second one then?
This is the first one.
For that.
So, and that was lovely. I played Orcs and Goblins and I went up against his Empire in just a small, I think it was 1200 points, that was all.
Alright.
Yeah, I managed to pull off a fluky win with Orcs and Goblins.
You're all boys better than a Halberdier, I reckon.
Unless the game's kind of at 2,000 points, and I don't really feel like it's,
one cannon, two cannon?
It's just one cannon, isn't it? So, it's not like, not a 2,000-point game. And also, I played Eric a game of Guild War, and that was cool. What did I play? Oh, because the next thing, tournament, event I'm playing in is a Harlow Guild Ball event, and I'm going to take the engineers that I got free at SteamCon.
Yeah.
Yes. The ranged build, but see how much I can do at range. Basically, my little team can do, I reckon, with all the activations correct, and I land everything I should do, which is quite easy to do for range attacks, character plays, I reckon I could put down about 14 damage on a player, which probably won't be enough for harder players. But the point is, it's doing it with no comeback, in a sense. So basically, if the idea of the team... I was sharing about this. In Guild War, I want to push the skews. When I did that Mason team, it was all armor.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the Union, it really wasn't a skew, but I wanted to try their depth of players and see what I liked. And so with the engineers, I was neither of these other two teams I've played have ever really had any range game at all.
Well, there isn't much in the game.
Let's see, what do I do if I focus completely on it? What happens? And so if I kick the ball and if I've got the ball, I'll score because I've got a very good striker.
Everybody has a very good striker.
Well, I haven't.
Even the guys.
I'm using a very good striker, and I've got a very good other striker, and plus everybody in that team can kick the ball very well. So I will go to score, and including my captain Ballista can shoot the ball like on a legendary play, like something like 14 inches. I will be trying to score. If the opponent has the ball and is killing it in a sense of like putting it somewhere I can't go, that's what this ranged thing is all about.
Try and kill a player.
Well, yeah, I'll pick on a player and try to knock. I have to take two out to make it work, and then it's two goals and two takeouts. But so picking the skill of it, I think, will be picking the right player I go for, or I'm allowed to go for, in a sense.
Yes.
Because some players will have too much boxes, some players with tough hide will shut it down because I won't be able to do enough. But like your little mascots might be worth going for, and your weaker strikers because I can reliably hit them. You know, it depends. Like you'll see, basically, high armour players are actually the perfect thing I want to go for.
Do you generate any momentum while
you do with this captain? Yeah.
Okay, well, that's interesting because
Yeah.
That would be the problem. You do a lot of damage but no momentum.
Yeah, no, this is the build of the team that allows you to do it. So it's centred around the captain, and if they're within 4-6 inches of him, then you're generating momentum if you're doing it.
Right, there you go.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens. You know, like all of it is just basically the whole idea of the team is just to do that as a distraction to try and score again and again and again. Like,
they've got a couple of Indiegogos running.
They do. They've done something quite interesting. So they've wanted to redo their original teams as a complete set of in hard plastic, but they don't know if there's a market to do such a thing. So that's why they've done this Indigo.
Because a lot of people already have them.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Like so, see what happens. Really. Yeah.
It's interesting. So I think from what I can see, there's maybe they want $100 buy-in per pledge. And they won 80 grand. So that's 800 boxes, and then it's done.
Yeah.
As far as I can see. Or is it they just keep selling after the 8?
I don't know. I mean,
because it's 800 minimum, but maybe it's limited to just 800 and then it's done.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The other thing is like, if it's successful, does it lead to other teams being done, etc.?
I guess so. I mean, they picked the two best teams you'd think with
Well, the original teams.
The let's score and let's stab teams.
Mm-hmm.
Fair play to you, Mr. Steamforged.
Yeah. The other thing I've been doing a lot of is painting. So I've been cracking through my Chaos Dwarves, which I've been basing them up, and I've only left with three brigades left to do of basing on them, and then I can put
even I can base stuff.
Yeah, exactly, but that's why I don't even pay someone to save you money and don't pay someone to base your own stuff for you. Yeah, you can do it for yourself. And also I've painted this interesting test piece. So I've got a Bretonian army, and I was like, the nicest thing I'd seen in a Warhammer army was a Bretonian army that was done like Crusaders. So I've painted a test piece. What does it look like? Because I quite like the effect. It's very easy to do as an effect. As Barry says, it probably needs another whiter highlight on top. But it's Bretonians, no heraldry, in white outfits with the red crosses.
Well, the no heraldry certainly speeds things up.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Because if you with a Bretonian list army, the normal look would be each knight would have individual heraldry. You know, there'd be the king, and then they'd have, some knight. I guess his royal household might have the same colours, I don't know, but a lot, there'd be a riot of colours. Army, knights would it'd be a lovely army to look at because the knights would be beautifully colourful and the peasants would look like shit.
It was always a gorgeous army in fantasy.
Well, exactly. Now, but this, I really remember this crusader look given, what looked fantastic with these fantasy figures. So this is a thing. Maybe I was just testing it out. Seeing if it looks.
Army bearing the true cross
cannot be defeated. Exactly.
Etc.
So
apart from by Lizardman.
Yeah.
Who shut down all that good stuff.
And the other thing I've been doing in my world is Total War Warhammer 2 has had Tomb Kings come out. And the mod that I like to play the game in has also been updated, which is Steel and Faith. So that's been good fun. I'm playing the game in the Mortal Empires campaign, which is the massive, all the world campaign, 13 different races in it.
What?
and
what?
And I play it on the hardest level, like the hardest.
I guess PC this.
Yeah, bit. You play on the hardest difficulty setting and see how long you can last, which is quite fun, really, because this Mortal Empires campaign and that, you know, so much is going on, and like, I mean, my last campaign got crushed today because I was Empire. And I'm like, right, here I am, Empire, doing my thing, trying to build the Empire and hold my borders. And with this mod, you get decisions like, do you allow the elector counts, like the Empire states, to declare war on each other, or do you deny it for 30 turns, saying, no, there is peace in the Empire. We cannot, and this is the mod, so that massive game decision. So you're like, so hang on, by saying no, I'm surrounded by enemy factions I can't declare war on. I have to win over with diplomacy.
Right.
So I love it. I mean, like, there's some really good big decisions you have to make. Anyway,
can you turn the stuff in the back layer? Because that's,
well, if that, that'd be very, it lasts for 30 turns. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 20 turns.
Well, they won't like it if you
turn 29. Yeah. Someone stabbing you in the back.
So anyway, it went wrong this one because Marienburg, who had got a big, they lost their big city to Bretonians early on, and there's a decree that comes in that says Marienburg. They've always been in. They broke away from the Empire like hundreds of years ago. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to make them come back in or guarantee their independence?
Yeah.
Or are you going to not? And for money, you can like get paid off. So I said, at the time, I needed the money. So I said, no, they can stay independent for 30 turns. These bastards invaded me, didn't they?
Absolutely.
And
are they the ones that used to be like stronger than regular Empire, like strength 4?
No. But that's your
middle line.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So no. They're like anyway. They invaded me out of nowhere, like when this treaty, like pact, had finished, and they took me out of the campaign basically, because like, I just had no army now. I was not expecting this, and yes. But it's a lot. It's when you're playing it with this mod, which I love, and on the hardest setting, it's difficult. But that's good because some people want to play computer games and play them on like the easiest mode, so they can they can do well. I'd rather play on the hardest one and get crushed. I don't know. I think I find that more fun. Like if I get somewhere, I feel like I've achieved it.
Yeah.
So next time round, I'll do one as Dark Elves. I think. All right, I'm gonna give them a go.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Good old Dark Elves. Well, that sounds exciting. I know you didn't work at the club on Wednesday.
No. I mean, this is the other thing. Like my inherently good mood at the moment is tomorrow is my last shift for. I've got all of February off.
You've got a lot of work on for BonesCon.
Yeah, I've got half of March and part chunks of April off as well. So, you're lovely.
Yeah, I mean, Blackgate Miniatures appreciated the call to arms.
I wanted to see what you would do.
I've realised that the 10 millimetre miniature market is a pretty small pond.
You didn't reply though, did you?
You can't
be critical of other people. Are we talking about that?
No. I just thought I'd bring it up as a laugh.
Let's mention it off after we've done. I'll talk to you. I'll give you an update on it.
Okay, well, I ain't supporting BonesCon because how many people are going to be there that are going to be interested? None.
Outrageous.
Outrageous. None, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so what else have we... Is that it?
The other thing is, I'm sticking to my New Year's resolution of staying...
Cash neutral.
Being hobby... what was it, right? Hobby black.
Self-finance.
And I'm currently sitting at £450... Profit, POS.
What are you selling? What are you selling
for? Well, it's like, you know.
I don't want to know.
You don't want to know, do you?
I don't want to know.
So, anyway, I'm good. That's good. I mean, but I do have some planned purchases coming up, so that's good.
£450 worth of stuff.
Have you seen Clark? I mean, you wouldn't have seen Clarky's Necromunda Walls, have you? Have you? Like the Barrack.
The one he's making?
Yeah.
Oh,
they look really good, Barry.
Good for him.
Like, really good.
He's got
like,
that
really
laser
good.
Burner running.
Yeah. Now. Like, he's got some talent with that because I've like he's been showing he's finished the set for me and I'm just like that looks better than what is being shown as the thing to buy. You know?
Well, get on with it. Else the market will close. Mm. Go on, Clarky. Get on with it, fella. Right. So it's me, isn't it? Barry's World. Woo-hoo. I played Magic on Monday. That was good. I didn't do very well at all. So what happens is there's a new set out, Rivals of Ixalan, which is the small set on the big set of Ixalan, but it means that it's a different, you're opening new stuff. And people play like pre-releases and this and that, and this is the first time I looked at the cards, so I got absolutely smashed, as I always do. So I went 0-3. But the fight like starts now, so now I know the cards, I've actually seen them once. I'll get better in the next one.
Bosh.
Now that was Monday night. I didn't make the club on Wednesday, although there's a chance I nearly did. I'm going to make this Wednesday, I think.
I will be there as well.
You're playing War Machine, goddammit.
I'm playing War Machine against Dave Downs. Yeah.
Dave Downs. Diamond Dave Downs.
Diamond Dallas Dave Downs.
I won't be playing War Machine, that's for fucking sure.
Ever again?
Maybe. We're not anytime soon. So, not until they stabilise the bloody thing.
I'd say sell your stuff, but there's no market for it.
Sell what? What, like for 5% of what I paid for it? I had a really interesting day on Thursday. We had a power cut at 8 o'clock. And I thought, oh, what's that? Because the builders were here, so I said, oh, maybe it's the builders have done something. It wasn't. It was we've got overhead power lines and they burned themselves out.
Oh.
And it took till 5 o'clock that evening to get any power back in the house.
So 9 hours, 9, 10 hours, yeah.
Yeah, so that was all day. No Wi-Fi, no fridge, no kettle, no lights, no phone. I had to wait in for the bloody people to come.
What did you do?
Lit a fire, read a book.
Wank yourself to death.
No.
Imagination.
There's no phone signal in my house.
Yeah.
There's no 3G or 4G or anything in the house. Yeah. I had to wait in the house. It was like going back to being a caveman. It was superb. I really enjoyed it. It was like, you can't do anything. You just sit around in front of an open fire.
What day was this?
Thursday, was it?
Was I off? Should I come over?
I don't know. No, I had to wait in for the...
Oh, of course, yeah.
For the electric people to turn up.
Yeah.
So it was brilliant. So just sit in front of a fire all day. You're thinking like... Life was so simple. There was no phones, no texts, no Facebook.
No healthcare.
No healthcare. So, yeah, it finally got fixed.
If you're talking about times of that, you'd be dead.
You'd be dead, Jim. You'd be dead. Power cuts. And I've been playing... It's funny, I bought my kid, like, about 18 months ago. I got him an Xbox for doing well in his exams. And I bought him a game called Fable 2. Back ages ago, 10 years ago. On the PC, I played Fable, and I seem to remember enjoying it. So I thought, oh, you might enjoy this. I got in Fable 2, and I ended up playing it. I'm restricting myself to just a couple of hours at the weekend, because otherwise...
It's going to take over your life.
Yeah, otherwise, kids will go to school and be playing all week. But it's quite enjoyable. I like that kind of stuff.
Right.
Little RPGs. You ever play stuff like Fable?
I always prefer... big grand strategy games, hence my love of
it's a definitely Adam Jones Uglo kind of game. Yeah. It's like you choose your destiny, so you can start off and you can be like goody two shoes, or you can be evil and like slitting people's throats, and then all the decisions you make change the decision tree.
Yeah,
lovely little game. So that's good. That's all we've been doing, and obviously work.
I do have something I just want to add, is a shout out to a very nice feedback we had from a certain man called Adam House, who from Canada, who messaged me.
A House.
Adam House. A House.
It's got a good name, man. I like it.
Who messaged me.
Especially if he's a big fella.
I don't know.
Fella's a house. Look at that.
Anyway, messaged me saying, like, feeding back on a demons list, and which I replied, and then he said he really liked the podcast and asked for some feedback, and he gave us some really nice feedback.
Always ask for feedback, don't you? Always ask.
Well, like, it's just nice to know. Like,
smoke being blown up your arse. You're a bunch of wankers. I'm never listening again.
Maybe.
I never asked for feedback.
Maybe. But he said we were very funny, which I kind of like.
Oh, well, fish.
There we go.
Ish.
But we take too long to get to topic, so let's not do that.
Is that what he says?
Yeah.
That's because of Paul's wall. It's not Barry's wall, man. Barry's wall's done in about 90 seconds.
I blamed you.
90 seconds. It probably wasn't even 90 seconds this week. So we've done 18 and a half minutes.
Yep.
Of which not much is me.
Yeah.
Barry's wall.
All right, well, crack on.
Crack on. Well, there's chaos sponsorship.
Attention. If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR Multicase. KR Multicases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes, and have gamer-friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR Multicase today! Soft foam, hard cases.
So welcome back, and Paul is now going to hit us with the massive fluff bomb. that is reading out the book, the High Elf Army.
Yep.
Bomb.
So, High Elves. So, first of all, Barry, who do you think the High Elves are?
The Wood Elves are like Legolas's lads in Lord of the Rings.
Okay. So, who are the High Elves? And who are the Dark Elves?
Dark Elves are the band of High Elves, aren't they? Because they're all the...
Because
this is the... I'm going to spoil the story, man, because you've told me that the guy...
He
should have passed through the Ring of Fire. But he didn't.
Yeah.
And it's all a big... I remember.
All right, High Elves. So the Elven Kingdoms are the most ancient and cultured of all the world's races, aside from those who are the cold-blooded Lizardmen races. Long before the true townships of men took shape, the Elves were building glittering cities in the island contour of Ulthuan.
I wouldn't call Lizardmen cultured either, really. I mean,
they have a culture. Yeah, like, they nicked it from the Aztecs. Soon, more cities arose in their colonies throughout the world. After millennia of habitation, many of these cities still exist. They are graced by fantastical towers, sweeping arches, and a thousand other wonders undreamed of by mankind.
Like flying boats.
Within soaring spires, the High Elves pursue their age-long studies of art, sorcery, and the world, both natural and otherwise. The Elven mind is not only keen, but is matched by a near-perfect physique and extraordinarily longevity. Elves resemble men, but are taller and more elegantly proportioned with long athletic limbs. They have lean, intelligent and handsome faces, with delicately pointed ears and entrancing almond-shaped eyes. It has been said that their swift, precise movements make the most graceful humans seem oafish in comparison. These qualities make them dangerous warriors as well as unparalleled craftsmen and sorcerers. Elves are not warlike by nature, and as are, for example, orcs are, even dwarves are men to some extent. However, they are proud, and some say arrogant, and ultimately confident in their purpose. Thousands of years ago, elves and dwarves fought a long and bitter war over possession of the Old World, a war fueled by pride and suspicion on both sides. This war weakened two races to such an extent that both were nearly destroyed as a result. Much of the dwarf realm was subsequently overrun by greenskins. The elves were driven from their cities in the Old World, and the elven homelands, and were plunged in the devastating civil war known as the Sundering. Elves and dwarves have never forgotten that war, and it remains a source of
recrimination
and antagonism between them to this day. Although their strength is less than it once was, the elven kingdoms constitute the greatest bastion against chaos in the world. Millennia ago, even when the Age of Chaos began, the most adept of the High Elf Mages constructed a gigantic vortex of power at the centre of the island continent of Ulthuan and the heart of the Elven Kingdoms. The purpose of this vortex was to draw magical energy out of the world, which at the time was overrunning with demons and other holy sorcerous creatures. By means of a system of magical standing stones arranged around the circular island like a spider's web, the power of Chaos was gradually drawn away and stability restored. The demon armies were destroyed or banished back to the realms of Chaos, which they had come. This is a burden that the High Elves carry to this day. Were Ulthuan and its vortex to fall, the world would be quickly consumed in magic, and mortal creatures would cease to exist, at least in any form recognisable as such. The Elven Kingdoms remain eternally alert to the threat of Chaos. They are the undisputed masters of the seas and have fortresses situated all over the globe as strategic positions. Where they wait and watch the lights of magic playing upon the northern skies, they prepare for the next battle against the forces of chaos. However, their numbers are fewer now than ever, and the burden of defence grows ever more heavy. For this reason, the elves regard the human realms as vital to the eternal battle against chaos, for if the human realms fell, it would only be a question of time before Ulthuan itself would be overwhelmed by the tides of chaos.
Very nice. And with the little bastions all around the world, are the High Elves the Americans?
Yeah. I was literally about to say that. They
the US
are,
of A.
Are they the world police? You know, like, so...
Fuck yeah.
Hell yeah!
Coming to save the world, yeah!
Motherfucking D.E.
I have to watch that film again.
But the thing is they... has some lovely aesthetics. Now where are High Elf stuff? Okay, taking Lord of the Rings as the obvious inspiration, because there is clearly in Warhammer there's Wood Elves and High Elves, which are both in Lord of the Rings as well. But there is no Dark Elves in Lord of the Rings, or at least not that I know of.
No, you
say
I don't think so.
Orcs or Dark Elves. Anyway, so they're basically the learned guys that basically live forever. It's not, do they die of old age? Not sure. You know, like whether
not
elves
often.
Can actually do that.
Yeah.
But that is does lend you to some like realism questions, very like when you put your Game of Thrones head on, it's like, so if these elves don't die of old age and they don't suffer, seem to suffer from like diseases as much.
Yeah, yeah.
Why aren't they shagging like rabbits, and why aren't there thousands of bloody elves?
Maybe it takes 20,000 years to gestate a high elf.
Exactly. I think they're a bit too highly strung.
Maybe. You only have like one every 20,000 years. It takes 20,000 years to grow inside you, and then you have a baby, then it takes another 20,000 years to have another one.
Maybe. Who knows? Anyway, but that's the... Yeah, it does lead you to some, like, you know, like, questions about them. But essentially... High elves are a lovely race and lovely aesthetic.
I don't know about that.
But they, in the end times, they did, like, sadly have this, like, really bad, like, writing, essentially, which I didn't like, which essentially was that the high elves and dark elves of, basically, millennia ago, the way the high elves decide who's king, royal, is goes through this fire, like you know, door, essentially, like this, in this temple, in the Shrine of Cain. So when you go through that, if you're untouched, then you're, like, good
worthy,
to go.
Worthy. Yeah.
Anyway, the original, like, elf king was a guy called Anarion, you know, like, and he had two wives. Malekith, who's head of the Dark Elves, was the son of his second wife. You know, now, Morathai, who is Malekith's mother, was the original bad elf, essentially. She wasn't, like... She went evil, like,
yeah,
went rogue, and he got very burnt. Matt, yeah, when it was an area
when
that passed
turn.
Away, when it's his turn, I'm the son,
I'm
he gets massively
through.
Scarred, burnt up, you know, a bit like Darth Vader kind of style, and he's rejected. Now, that was always set in stone fluff, and that he goes off, becomes the Dark Elves race. They have a massive civil war, and it keeps going to this day.
Yeah.
And because he, in his eyes, is the rightful ruler, which he is, you know. But the end times fluff had it that somehow he'd been set up in a sense that he should have passed through worthy, but some, yeah, basically it was interfered with this process.
By some wizards, no doubt.
And so he was cheated of his birthright of to be the king of the elves. And then the essentially factions both within the High Elves and Dark Elves ally with each other, and you have a new, you have groups of Dark Elves and High Elves decide to ally with each other, even though they've been killing each other for 6,000 years. They then decide
that's a lunch time. 6,000 years.
So
been fine for a while. They call it a draw. It did
basically, and the elves
draw.
In the end times, the elves became one faction of High Elves, Wood Elves, and Dark Elves.
Of course they did,
well, and it was. Really annoying because there's some good fluff there. These are polar opposites,
so
black and white.
Hyper intelligent elves couldn't have foreseen that robbing someone of their birthright might cause some resentment.
Well, he didn't die. You know,
they were supposed to burn him up.
I guess the idea was that he would die.
Oh, yeah. In the fire.
Yeah. He's not lightly put down. So anyway, it's a shame really because I think to a lot of people that was the biggest. Atrocity of end times writing was that they made the High Elves and Dark Elves ally, you know, and Wood Elves as well.
And they all got off then, somehow.
Elements of them, you know. Apparently elves are the next faction that's getting done for ages.
How do they pronounce them now? Elves.
Yeah. They look like very witch elfy.
So, all of them.
Well, yeah, kind of a faction of, like, witch elves, basically. I mean, they do look good. They'll look good models, because GW make good models. But they just... I mean, I just do not like the AOS aesthetic, you know, in terms of what it is, personally.
Well, it's just not high fantasy anymore. It's something different.
Yeah, exactly. And that's not... That's
like a sci-fi fantasy.
Yeah, that's not my thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is.
So that's who the high elves are.
Or were.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah. Now they're gone. Now we'll talk about that later. I was going to talk about a little minor bugbear of mine in old list versus new list.
Yeah,
but we'll leave that to later and just crack on with the actual army list. For
okay.
Now. So there were choices to be made when we moved to revolutions, in that the vast majority of the people that played the game had agreed that the original High Elf list was too bent to be allowed to continue.
You've got to explain this. There was a High Elf list and a High Elf tournament list.
And the tournament list was generated to solve some of the issues that the High Elf regular list was producing.
Yes, was producing.
In that shooting was becoming too
strong.
Yeah, too strong, too consistent.
Yeah.
Especially the bolt throwers, even though they're limited on range. So they got reduced down to just regular bolt throwers. Reavers got reduced because of the way that they could move and shoot and kind of put damage where you needed the damage to be put.
Yeah.
Archers were left alone. The magic was toned down.
Yep.
And it made the army fairer, although a little bit more vanilla. I mean, there's not a great deal it does any different to most other armies now, apart from the fact it has a leadership 10 hero, general.
Hmm.
If you took away the leadership 10 general, then I'm not sure what the point of playing them would be.
Because
what do they do that other things don't do?
Well, it's
at least as well.
It would be down to their balance of units, isn't it? A balance of what unit choices they have.
Okay.
Yeah, I think. But yeah, I mean...
I mean, there's nothing exceptional in the list. The guys, they hit on threes, but you ain't taking enough archers to do anything with that anyway, generally.
Well, when we come to the list, we'll talk about it. But if we're talking bigger stuff, like what would we change? I think that... I think that the Dragon Rider would need be looked at. Like
that was deliberately hamstrung.
Yeah, well that's what I'm saying. It's just like it's you know, pie in the sky, what would I change about this? The Dragon Rider entry doesn't seem to really have a play. Is in terms of it's far too many points and it's not very good. But that's on purposely.
Yeah, all the way from back from when the game was invented, because they didn't want it to dominate.
Well, exactly. So then you have a unit which doesn't really have a place, you know, in terms of like is not ever used.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about that more fully when we go through.
Yeah.
But just out in the to get it in the open, the Revolution took the tournament list because that's where the world is.
Yeah.
The original High Elf list is dead.
Yeah.
If you like that list, I'm sorry, but it's gone. We're working with the tournament list because that's the only list that exists now.
Yep.
Okay, so what's our first entry?
Spearmen.
So
they are infantry, 3 attacks, 3 hits, 5 up armor, 3 unit, 60 points, min 2, max 0.
The bog standard elite infantry.
Yeah, exactly the same across 3, 3, 5, 60 points across many army lists.
Many armies.
Yeah, you can build an army out of them.
They're certainly not bad.
No, I mean that's a very good stat line. It's to some armies it's their elites, other armies it's their kind of core.
Yeah.
You know, like, and you can aim for it in terms of like I'm going to that you could even like, you know, the Chaos Army that I featured like had a lot of Marauders which are the same profile.
Yep, and Empire would love to have something like this.
There's a good reason they don't. And that's a magic. It's a key unit in the game, 3-3-5.
Okay, and then we have archers. Infantry, they have three regular attacks, one ranged attack.
Yep.
Range 30, 3 hits, 6 up armor, 75 points. They're more expensive than your regular crossbowmen by quite a bit.
One, max none, so you're going to have at least 2.
Yeah.
And they have a special rule.
They do. They hit with an extra 1, so they're hitting on 3s,
yes,
generally.
Yes, because they're high elves, and they're very good at what they do.
They're very good at what they do. But you're paying quite a lot for that.
Yeah, so basically you get a unit of archers, which are very strong at shooting, but at 75 points, you don't want to throw them away.
You're getting an extra armour.
Yeah.
And you're getting the hitting on 3s.
So, you know, if you built an high... You mean... High elves don't want to, like... You wouldn't want to cast these guys away in terms of, like, oh, my archer's in front and my spearman behind.
But you have to.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is that they're not... There's throwaway is, like, oh, crossbowmen, Empire crossbowmen and Empire
Howl. 45 points, huh?
Yeah. 55.
Okay, so you're only paying 20 points.
Yeah, but it's... It all starts to add up.
It does all add up. Right. And disappointingly... That's it for infantry.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think back into the realms of time, and I know we talk about scale and stuff, the list of infantry that High Elves have is massive. They have Phoenix Guard, they
have Swordmasters, White Lions,
they have the Lothian Sea Guard, which are probably the single most kind of like the one that defines how the army plays in fantasy is a Sea Guard, because not only are they spearmen, but they got bows. So they kind of do two duties, combined arms on themselves.
They could be a very, like, a very negative plague army. Like, a lot, basically in old Warhammer, where you had horde formations.
Yeah.
You know, like, so the last edition of Warhammer. So basically, if you... Because elves had a rule that you fight another rank just because you're elves.
Because you
do. So basically, you fight first because you're elves. So basically, your block... So your block of 40, like, Lothan Sea Guard, yeah, all basically, three ranks fired their bows... Maybe
you could do like indirect fire or something.
Yeah, like no, a lot of them fired their bows, okay. And if you got to combat with them, all 40 of them would poke you before you had
all
a go.
Of them.
All of them. Yeah, it's like
that's not quite what I was thinking of. But they are very. If you think of high elf, you think of Logan Sea God. In my mind, that's
oh, okay, sure. Right. It's you. That is the unit. Yeah.
Because they take archers, they take spearmen, and they shove them together, and they get.
That would be an expensive package.
That's what they do, isn't it?
Yeah, but that you would have a 3-1, 3-5. Unit, wouldn't you?
I'm not saying it's going to be cheap.
I mean, that might. Do you know what? In terms of when we come back round to review armies again at some point in the long future, there might be a place for that. You might. They wouldn't be. You still have the minimum and maximum of spearmen, but you might want to put in
the minimum and maximum of archers.
Yeah, yeah. But you want to put in another unit of Lothan Sea.
They can be both. They can be on the front rank of the spearmen, and they can
So there'd be that profile 3-1, 3-5. We have to work out how many points you should pay for that.
It's expensive, but like ogre level.
But they're not the core troops, so you can't just have an army of them.
No, and they would be to be able to fill that rank, being on the front rank and able to shoot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But why I bring it up is because like in a lot of the later lists, especially the ones we're working on now, which came from the Trial armies, they have butt tons of different choices.
Yeah, for that's infantry. True. That's
and
true.
These poor guys get two choices. One of them you can't go mad on. You can't go mad on archers.
No.
How many can you take, realistically? A couple? Three, if you want to go mad? But he ain't taking more than that. Because
I'll come back to you with that, right, okay.
Have you gone, oh my God. you're running an empire. Right, good for you, sir. Right, so that's I'm disappointed when I build the list, there's only two choices.
But that could be a thing to look at in the future, isn't it? Of adding in more units, you know, like to these original armies. To get that aren't core troops,
like
but add more variety.
What we talked about last week was dwarves.
Yeah.
God damn me, they got warriors. That's it. Really,
these are things for us to throw into the mix, aren't they?
Of course they are.
Yeah.
Of course they are. Right, there we go. That's me finished. You can do the next one.
Silver Helmets.
My favourite list.
Cavalry.
Yeah.
3-3-4, 110 points. No min, no max.
No max. These are the bog standard of the bog standard knights.
All right, it's exactly the same. Yeah.
No limit on them?
No limit on them.
We'll talk about a list later with no limit on them. With Leadership 10 General. Yeah. Now, Reavers. Poor old Reavers.
You got them.
So they're kind of like archers on horseback, aren't they, realistically? So you've got three 30 range, 3 hits, 6 of armor, 90 points. You're only paying 15 points extra to have them on horses.
That's true.
It's pretty
true.
Cheap.
Yeah, yeah.
They used to have a fantastic role before Revolution.
The difference here is the difference between these ranged guys on is compared to most ranged cav is that they retain their 30-centimeter range.
Yeah.
So they have a narrow frontage of 3 cavalry bases, and they can shoot 30 as well. So they've got a long threat from rather obscure angles.
So pre-Revolution, I used to use. A brigade of 3 units.
Yep.
And they were 100 points each, and they used to hit on 3s, now they hit on 4s.
Yep.
So you would just put 9 shots into something.
Yeah.
Hitting on 3s, so 6 hits, that would normally do some damage.
That would do some tasty damage, yeah.
And cause a nasty drive back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, unfortunately, you can't shoot off support on brigades anymore as easily, because that used to be you'd put your knights in the front, then shoot off support.
Yeah.
So that's a negative for these fellows, that they can no longer shoot off support. They've got another negative in that they're hitting on 4s now instead of 3s. And also, light cavalry really struggled in this game now.
But that is something, you know, like a little tidbit for the future that the committee is looking at about adding in a buff for light cav.
Yeah, not particularly these guys, but they will get maybe some little bonus in the wash.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Because, I mean, they're not that much better than Chaos Hounds, really, now. They could shoot a bit.
Having seen what that brigade of Kislev Horch archers did to me, you know, like, I wouldn't write them off completely as a terms of like,
completely.
Yeah, you know, like, because that stun against Jin, like that Brigade of Horse Archers.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So they're 20 points cheaper than a Brigade of Silver Helms, for example, a unit of Silver Helms. Yeah. If you get charged by Silver Helms, you're losing, and losing badly, generally.
Right.
If you're only hitting on fours. And then you're only wounding half of them. And then these guys are smashing into you with, like, three times the armour you've got. I think the fragility of a light cavalry is, as Paul mentioned, something. In Revolutions is coming to the fore. Okay, right, next one.
Chariots. 3-3-5 with 95 points, no min, maximum 3. They have the chariots rule, so that means that they'll get an extra 1 when charging in the open, but equally they cannot go over certain terrain that other things can. So there we are, elven chariots.
They're much more useful now that you only get 2 rounds of combat,
because
you need to do more damage early, and these guys can. One thing to remember is if they advance into a second combat, they don't get the charge bonus, so there's just 3 attacks. They're good. I find I'm leaning more towards a mixture of these and Silver Helms rather than just Silver Helms.
Personally, me as well.
You need to do some damage. Giant Eagles, monsters, they have 2 attacks. 3 hit, 6 of armor, 70 points. They fly. They're not the best in the game, but they're pretty good value for money.
Yeah, I mean, they're a good unit of flyers.
And there's only 70 points. I always take 2 of these. Probably first thing on the list.
Okay, fair enough then. Good, that means we're going to have different lists. Right, Dragon Rider, monster. 6-3, 6 hits, 4 up armour. Stand is only 1 stand.
Of course it is.
300 points.
300
points. No min, maximum 1. And it has a 3 dragons can fly. They cause terror. They can be wounded after 3 wounds.
3 wounds, that is. 3 wounds.
And they can be mounts for characters, which is an option. And they can also have a ranged attack, which is range 20. If they're a unit, they've just got it. If they're a mount, then they can do that as well.
If they're a joined unit, they can do it. If they're a mount.
So 300 points for a single stand.
Which can be wounded on 3 hits.
Yes.
That's bad. 3 hits ain't that hard. You only need to roll 3 dice and then have a bad run. One fireball spell, summit, and say, oh god, now this thing is just garbage. It was garbage to start with, now it's even worse.
I have seen a dragon list which used.
Jeff will run it.
What was it?
5 dragons.
Was it 5 dragons?
5 dragons.
2 units.
And 3 characters.
3 characters and dragons.
5 dragons.
Ouch!
There's no army.
Yeah.
Just 5 dragons. I think he had a general hero and a wizard all on dragons and 2 units of dragon riders.
Yeah, so what you tend to find, unless you're doing that, is that this, as a unit, I don't think I've seen them being used.
I've seen them being used by people who are new to the game. And think, oh, this must be good. And then they put them out there and they just get annihilated by a cannon or... Shot to pieces by bolt throwers or whatever it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I think...
A unit of bolt throwers, 12 shots, hitting on fours.
Yeah.
So six.
Six.
Wounded on
we'd
fours.
We'd wound them, yeah.
Yeah, badly hurt.
Yeah, badly hurt.
Oh my god! For one round of ball throwers. Yeah, badly hurt.
I mean,
oh, come on, man.
Personally, when it comes around to review things again, you'd have to look critically. They're very pricey. What they do.
It's the basically.
Yeah.
It's basically. I think it's been said all along that it's the to use if you want to use it.
Yeah.
But it's not competitive. Don't bother trying to pretend like you can use this to win the game like some big colossal in War Machine or something.
Yeah.
I mean, you could delete the entry and it wouldn't bother me in the slightest.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Is like,
just, well, leave it in there because nobody's going to take it anyway. But delete the bloody thing.
Yeah.
Nobody uses it.
I mean, because if you adjusted it, what would you do?
Well, you can't because then you might make it good.
Come on, make it good, mate.
You don't want to make it good.
I mean,
because you don't want 2 of these running around winning a game on its own.
The thing is, because it's as a unit, it's very unlike everything else, isn't it?
So Stegodon, he's 250 points.
Yeah.
I've seen Stegodons do a lot of work, and I've seen Stegodons do nothing.
Yeah.
So it's a similar thing. You can't expect to take 2 Stegodons as a core of your army and win the game.
Yeah, okay. No,
it may do sometimes, if you're lucky.
It's probably a good thing. Again, a bonus why Warmaster is such a good game is because that it purposely doesn't allow you to dominate with, lame choices. Okay, so, Elven Bolt Thrower. They're a piece of artillery. One attack and three ranged attacks. Two stands, two hits, no armor. Two stands, 55 points. Min none, max one. So they dropped down in points because they lost their
hit on threes,
and they have a range of 40. I like them, book throwers, personally.
I like them, but they never do enough in a game for what I like. But they're cheap. I like the fact they're cheap.
I'll explain.
I like the fact that it gives the archer somewhere to stand.
With my army, I'll explain a way to how to use the bolt throwers.
It gives the army somewhere to stand. The problem is that the range 40.
Yeah. I'll come on to that. So their character setup, now they have a general who's command 10 for 180 points. Command 10. Then they have the standard hero, command 8 hero at 80 points. Their wizard adds no attacks, but he's command 8, so he's 90 points.
Because he's got a special rule.
And he also has another rule, is that elf mages are good at what they do. They can reroll failed spell results of a 1.
Unless it's a
1.
So it used to be anything, but now it's if you roll a 1.
So we should just quickly glance at their spell deck. The character mounts are there's the dragon for 100 points with three extra attacks and causes terror. And then you've got the standard 10-point chariot mount.
And you've got an eagle.
You've got an eagle as well.
No, the eagle's good.
Yeah, 20. Yeah, exactly. Is like if you want a flying character, you know, but you want it on the cheap. I mean, an eagle is probably a good choice.
Yeah, plus I mean, you look at a wyvern.
Yeah.
A wyvern only gives you plus 2 attacks, and he's like 60 points or 60.
And he causes terror.
And he causes terror. But this gives you plus 2 attacks for 20 points, which is good. Give him a sword, that's 3 attacks.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've got a hero with 4 attacks, and he's only cost you an extra 30 points.
Yeah, it's on the cheap, isn't it?
He's playing against undead.
That's as good
as a dragon.
Yeah, well, exactly. But that's then
picking for cheap, cheap.
So the higher spells is there's Storm of Stone, which is 6 up to cast in range 30, and will affect every unit in range as D3 attacks. Worked out in the normal way. We'll separately determine the number of attacks for each unit. Now, units don't have any hits carried on the first round of combat. Now, I don't really get this spell in a sense. It's like, you know, it could in the right situation, it could disrupt a lot of people, potentially, but it's not going to... D3 attacks normal way with armor saves. It's not going to do enough to damage units.
You're not driven back. There's no confusion.
Oh, yeah. I don't really get it, this spell, then.
It's just like a damage multiplier in a combat, but I've never cast it.
Oh, yeah, they do carry over hit scored. Yeah, I've never cast it.
It's a 6-up, you're going to have to bring your magic gate. Forget about it. I ain't doing that.
Light of Battle, 5 up to cast, range 30. Every unit in range, every unit and character gets plus 1 attack. There you go.
That's pretty good. That's
pretty good.
That's pretty good.
If you can get it to affect 2 things or more, it's worth doing. Heaven's Fire, 4 plus the cast, range 30, will allow a shooting unit to fire again, but they will have minus 1 to hit.
Used to be really good with Reavers, not so much now. It's alright with Archers, but
yeah.
If you've got nothing else to do, you can do it.
And it has to be Missile, Infantry or Cavalry, so you can't cast it on your Bolt Throwers.
Nope.
Hail of Destruction, 5 up to cast, range 30, is your standard 3 shooting attack spell, except armor has no effect. So really, with the High Elf spell deck, I like... There are 3 of their spells. Light of Battle, Heaven's Fire and Hail of Destruction are good, have a place. I don't think Storm of Stone really has a place, personally.
It's very situational. You'd have to work out...
Again, when it comes to, let's have a look at these lists again and what would you change, maybe they should have a different 6-up spell. You know, what it could be, I'm not sure. But I don't think that this is a very good one.
Well, I don't know if they always have to be good.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the Orc spell, all they ever cast is Billy Geroff. They might as well ignore the other 3. Geroff.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't know what other spell they could have.
Well, 6-up spells tend to be quite devastating.
But, yeah, it's one to look deeper into. Because
it's certainly not a devastating 6-up spell.
But I would say that when we're looking at lists again... Anything that you never consider is worth a question. Like, why is it? Is that right that it's never considered? Should it be there? Okay, so that's our army list. High elves.
I only generally take wizards when I want to dispel scroll. Sometimes I don't even bother taking them.
Yes.
But they don't do enough for me with the army list. Unless they're on magic defense.
Mm-hmm.
So if I knew I was playing against dwarves, for example, I certainly wouldn't take a wizard. What's the point? Even these spells, you only get enough half the time against dwarves.
Oh.
And they're not doing enough anyway. So.
Yeah.
Right, so there we go. What's your list, Paulus?
Right, so my list is as follows.
We talked through the changes as we went along. There really aren't a lot of Revolution changes. The list is what the list was.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But there could be future things to address.
Maybe.
So I have gone for 4 spearmen.
Well, you have to have that.
4 archers.
We don't have to have that.
3 silver helms. 3 reavers. 2 chariots. 1 unit of giant eagles. 2 units of bolt throwers.
Yeah.
A general. A hero who I've stuck on a dragon. With a sword of might.
Rude not to.
A wizard with a ring of magic. And that will leave me at 19 units.
Ring of magic? For
yep.
What?
Oh, let me talk. Yeah, like, breakpoint at 10. And good scouting value. Very good scouting value. Because I could have 2, 4, 6, 7, 9, 10, 11, 12 easily. Yeah, and that's not committing anything too much either. So, high elves are very good at scouting. Why have I gone for what I've gone for? Okay, so the spearmen are the core thing. You've got to have them. The archers. Now, what I started with is I wanted to go through what I definitely wanted. Not even I can find a place for this dragon rider. Sadly. I just can't. But I wanted something of everything else. And then it started to build up from there, basically. The spearmen and the archers will build brigades of situation. Rather than, like, I will always put archers in front and spearmen behind, I'll look at the table situation and the opponent I'm playing over how I build those brigades. Now, the two bolt throwers, the high elves, have no point defense, like artillery pieces. They have no 2 artillery pieces. But their bolt throwers can stand and fire just as good effect as they can when they fire normally.
Yeah, they're pretty good for that.
So, they, in a sense, they have a gun that is 2 things at once. So, with high elves, you can always it's amazing what you can do with a command 10 general.
Anything is what you can do.
So, basically, the way you can set up these bolt throwers is if you have a brigade of archers and spearmen, so archers in front and spearmen behind, you can put the bolt throwers in the middle of that brigade at the back, where the two cross. So you're moving forward. You can't hold them all together because it's more than 4 units. But you do have a command 10 generals, so you can probably bank on getting some orders off.
Right.
So the brigade moves forward, like over two, giving two together. And when it needs to, and you're protecting the bolt throwers from everything because they're never getting exposed.
Yeah, yeah.
Now when they need to, they can 2 of your units, your archers and spearmen can get an order and just peel out a couple of centimetres to allow 4 centimetres to allow, oh no, sorry, it'd be more than 8 centimetres out. And then you bring one order, brings the bolt throwers forward, and suddenly you've got a battle line of brigade of archers, 4 bolt throwers, brigade of archers. Fire. Yeah. And that can be very good.
Fire.
But anybody could theoretically do that kind of tactic, but elves of a command 10 general and the odds become a lot better when you're that they've got that much command.
And they pay more for that command 10 general than anybody else.
Good.
They do. They're much more than anybody else. So because what they got.
Yeah.
That's an interesting list, Paul. What else you got?
So the silver helms and the chariots I'll probably put the silver helms together and the chariots together, and they're going to look at like what they need to do. Like, do I have to smash something like as much as I can? Is that chariots places or the silver helms the better option? The reavers, I would have been happy with 2 units, but points is points. So and that's gone with 3, and they'll support the infantry advance essentially, and I'll look to where they can apply their effect the most.
They left a big impression on you, didn't they? Those Kislev.
Yeah, honestly, Barry, it did. It probably won you in that game. They're 6 exactly the same profile. Except Reavers 5 further. And then the only 1 unit of Eagles, I think, because I will look at what the Eagles need to do, and the 1 unit will be enough. And then my character setup is basically I've included the dragon because I really like the model.
It's good.
Yeah, it's a lovely little model, and I just, if I can't have the dragon rider unit, I do want that dragon in there. And so when he commits in, that'll be 3, 4, 5 attacks he'll throw with terror. Could be everything.
And what's the ring of magic for again?
Ring of magic, well, I'd have been happy with a dispel scroll.
Well, that's what I'd have taken.
But because I had 30 points spare, not 20, I went for ring of magic.
OK. Okay, fair enough.
But also the High Elves, like, their Heaven's Fire spell, I think, is the key here, because it allows you to get the other shooting round off, another range shot. And essentially, I only take the one wizard, and he'll be doing more command than like most. But I think that's a really good spell.
I used to think that until I played a lot of High Elves, and then I realised that the wizard shooting spell's better than that spell, generally. Because the wizard hits on fours and does three attacks with no armour, I think. And this one you have to make the spell on a four up, then the guy's got to shoot on a four or five up, and then they get armour saves. And you go, hang on a minute, why don't you just put the fucking wizard at the front and cast the fucking spell himself?
But Heaven's Fire is cast on a four.
What's the other one? A five? Yeah, I think I did the math and it turned out that, I was wasting my time trying to get these. When he moved to four up shooting, when it was three up shooting, it's a different kettle of fish.
Okay.
But when he moved to four up.
But I think it has a place to be cast on archers.
Yeah, right. Maybe.
So I was tempted with a high elf list to go a lot of spearmen, but I decided against it because I wanted to. This is also a list that I could probably run with models I have.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I had a list I ran quite a lot last year, mm-hmm. to mixed success, he says. Not very much success, to be honest. So I ran four spearmen, two archers, which is their arse minimum, 10 silver helm, because why wouldn't you? And they were in three brigades of three, a three, and a four. Or sometimes a three, three, and two twos. Oh, they have four brigades. Yeah. Sometimes. two giant eagles, because I love them. A general, a hero, and a dragon with a sword of might. That's it. And once that hero died, which he did inevitably in most games, because if you're not using him to fight,
what's he there for? Exactly.
I do have to stick him in, and then he's down to general on his own.
On his own.
But he can do it most of the time on his own. Because I don't have that many brigades. I have the spearmen and archers. Two brigades of three.
Well, the way you're using them, you're just using them to take a position and then stay.
Hide, right? Basically. And then allow the Silver Helms and Eagles to go fight.
Yeah.
I mean, it works sometimes. If the board was against it, then it didn't work, obviously. Mm-hmm. We've talked about that last year. And then my new version of the High Elf list is this one here.
Okay, so that was the old. This is the new.
That was 2017. This is 2018.
Yeah.
So I had nine units of my... And my scout was nine units break, and my scout was nine on that last list. And this one here, we have eight spearmen and two archers.
So, ooh, this is quite different.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Two full units of spearmen, two brigades of spearmen. We have two archers, that's the minimum, four silver helm, four chariots.
Ooh,
so that's
pretty
different. Two giant eagles, obviously. Two bolt throwers to go with the archers, because bolt throwers in the middle and archers on the outside. That's reasonable. We have a general. This time we've gone for a wizard.
Okay.
But put him on an eagle with a sword of might. Because he's still going to fight.
Yeah.
Because I can't risk the general, so I'm going to have to risk something. So I've got three attacks from this wizard.
Mm.
And then he can fanny about with his spells, buffing stuff.
Okay.
If he's getting stuck in.
So he gets in and does a light of battle.
Because he's got to be in there to do it,
hasn't
he?
Yeah,
or near the front, so he might as well be fighting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Might as well be fighting. So we have, as I say, two full brigades of spearmen. We have an artillery brigade with archers and bolt throwers. And then we have a brigade of chariots and a brigade of silver helms.
Okay, yeah.
22 units, break 11, and we have standard 9 scout.
That list, your second list there, your 18, is going to have more of a shot against most stuff, I think. I think that's a better all-rounder list.
Than the 10 silver helms.
In some matchups, your silver helm list would dominate. In others, it will really struggle, actually. Yeah, and that could be table situation. Yeah, like...
Yeah, it was,
So,
very table dependent.
I like that list. That's a good list, Barry.
It's good list. I've definitely got the models for this.
Yeah.
The only weird thing is having a wizard and no dragon. But you can't have everything.
You can't have everything.
So I've got a wizard instead of a hero. I've still only got general, really. That's all.
I mean, you could drop a unit of knights to give yourself that dragon, couldn't you?
I could, but I sometimes find that the dragon's kind of overrated.
Is a liability, essentially, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you have it, you feel the need to use it, and then. Yeah.
Because there's so many points tied up in it. Yes, there's less points tied up in it.
No, exactly. I mean, like, I say, I wanted to include a dragon because I like the model.
And you've got the redundancy, because you've got three characters.
Yeah, and I didn't choose the dragon because I thought, oh, points-wise, that is a good thing. I want it in the list. I chose it because of the aesthetic.
So, comparing lists, I've got three more units and one more break.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it would be quite an even match, but we don't like playing blue on blue, so it's probably not something we'd do.
No.
So they definitely were the tier one army. They're probably still there or thereabouts.
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
just because of how the general works.
Yeah. It's with the high elves, it's like it's amazing what you can do with a command 10.
Oh,
yeah, seriously? Like what you can do with command 10 and decent cavalry, you can just. Yeah, you know, it's not on. You know, 60 centimeter redeploys easy. Yeah. You know,
three moves, first turn charges, all kinds of shenanigans. It's not unusual for somebody's first game to really run you close if they're using high elves and you're not.
Yeah.
It's like the first time they've ever even looked at the game, you give them high elves and they can really...
They're really forgiving. You know, I would say, like, so if you are, say, a new player, or like, and you... This is a good army to go with as a new player. As in, like, one that will give you a lot of reward.
Yeah, you can play lots of different types of lists, but it all boils down to the general and how much you can save in other places. Like, you can literally run this list with a hero and a general, and you won't feel shortchanged as long as you're not asking the general to do anything too stupid.
Yeah. I think pie-in-the-sky stuff is like, how would I change this list? And that's something we should ask. I think I would probably put new entries in, two new infantry entries. I would have a Loth and Sea Guard style unit, which is a mixture of the spearmen and archers.
It'd be expensive, though.
Oh, it would be expensive. And they'd have no minimum, but they would have probably quite a high maximum. But you're going to have to take other infantry alongside them.
Yeah, you have to take all the other stuff still,
So maybe they would be like max two, or maybe max three.
You could have a brigade of them if you wanted.
Yeah. And you probably end up going to be paying like, what? 90 points.
But if you brigade them in column, they're not doing much shooting.
No, exactly. And also, I would have a unit of elite elves, and I would read them. Yeah, so they would either be your white lions, your sword masters, or your phoenix guard.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know what I would call the unit, but that's what they are. And they would be probably like four attack infantry with three hits and five up armor, and they'd have they'd have a maximum of one.
Jeez.
So, yeah, I think
Saurus. You're giving them Saurus. God damn!
But I'd limit them by their points and their maximum.
Well, Saurus run at 75 points.
Exactly. But they'd be max one.
But they've got all the shitty rules on cold blooded and this, that, and the others. And...
I think that's how I would. I don't think they need a unit of dragon knights. I don't think that personally. Because you could always represent them with silver helms with a banner, or a sword or something. Because but I do see a place for to expand their infantry options. Personally,
I mean, there's nothing wrong with the list. It's like the lists they're based off. It's just towards the end, people got a bit more creative.
And added
more entries.
They did.
So here you've got, like, I think it's probably the standard eight entries. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah. And towards the end, there were 10, 11, 12
exactly.
entries.
But this is eight entries with one that we've both said you never see.
Yeah, like the second monster. Yeah. Dragon Rider. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's really seven entries.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then your character.
I wouldn't push for the dragon to be deleted, as in like, but because it's not, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But I think that's the two things I personally would add into the list. Yeah, as in like, okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, right. So they were high elves. I still think they're tier one. I still haven't won an event with them, so I can still use them with a clear conscience. Maybe I'll run them out.
Have you won an event with them?
No.
So they're still on the path to be used.
That's true. We've talked about our sample list. They were quite different.
Yeah.
Although, with that few entries, it's all about numbers, really.
Yeah.
Because we all had most of the entries. The only things I didn't touch were readers.
Readers, yeah.
Because I really don't like them anymore. Yeah. I used to like them, I just don't like them. Because they don't do enough for me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Especially as they're, like, for 5 points where you can get a unit of chariots.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Yeah. Right, so Blackgate update.
Just a little thing to models. These are quite a common army to find, original models.
Oh, yeah.
Aside from the chariots are harder to find.
They are. The dragon's hardish to find. The eagle is hard to find.
But I would say to the eagle models, use AOS, some little small unit of eagles in Stormcast Eternals to make fantastic High Elf eagles.
So plastic ones in the Battle of Five Armies.
Yeah, they were better models. And also other companies make High Elf models, which would be totally adequate. You know, so they're quite an easy army to build.
You can go to, what's his face? Callistra, I think it's Dave bought one, or yeah. Eric bought one. It was like bottom saying, it was like 30 quid for an army or something. Because they're 12 mil, so you put less of them on a base.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it was no money at all. Right, so what have we got here? Blackgate Miniatures update. I did a reasonable amount this week.
Yep.
We're getting to a good stage now. If I take away the junk lobber and the greenlings, we could be in a position to ship the rest in a couple of weeks. So if people hadn't ordered those, then maybe I could ship some of that. Obviously, the greenlings and junk lobber between them need another 10 moulds.
And greenlings, we trust.
10 moulds. Jesus Christ, that's a lot of work for greenlings and junk lobber. The junk lobber, I think, is going to run to like 5 or 6 moulds on its own. Shit. Considering like the Ogre Warriors only had 5 moulds for the entire range of 9 models. These fucking...
Well, you can give me the stuff in two waves, can't you?
That's what I'm going to offer to do.
Yeah.
Especially if people haven't ordered greenlings and junk lobber, then realistically, that's going to be another 6 weeks.
Given that statement out, then yeah, that's totally fair, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, you're already overdue.
Oh, I'm aware. I've only got the bloody models in November.
It's fair enough. Just saying.
And then Christmas came.
Handwritten apology, please.
Printed apology, hand printed. That update thing. There's not much happening in there at the moment, so we'll push that one forward. We'll do that offline, the old WMRC update.
Yep.
And that's probably us. We've gone over an hour again.
Yep.
Okay. So.
But it's good. 40 minutes of it was on topic.
46 minutes
ish. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you can contact us at the Facebook page or warmonster.podcast@googlemail.com.
Yep.
Not sure what we're doing next week. Maybe try and bash another one of these out because there's fucking loads to do. We've got to get them done.
Okay.
Got to get them done. The ones that are done, we've got to get done.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. This was a Warmonster Podcast episode 84, High Elf Army Review Revolution Edition.
Thanks for listening.
With Paul and Barry. Good night.
Would you like to know more?